When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates, and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Have that dump button ready, because I honestly have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth.
Get ready for takeoff.
There's no way that I'm tapping out now.
You're listening to Unkillable.
If you didn't kill us last night, we are unkillable.
Hosted by Brandon Tierney.
What's happening, everybody? Episode number 16 of Unkillable. I actually went to the game today for some reason. I went to the game. How about this? You know, hey, let's give it up for the Jets. Made a little history today. Of course, with the Jets, not the history that you want to make. The Jets today managed to do something. Boy, they never cease to amaze us, huh? That hasn't been done in 25 years in the NFL. The Jets did not punt the football. They didn't punt once. Now, a couple times they could have. And, you know, if Ulbrich wasn't just saying, you know, whatever, I'm just going to try to get a win here and actually coach the right way, they would have punted at least once, probably twice, but they had no punt. So the Jets today, the first team in 25 years to not punt and score fewer than 10 points. So there you go. Once again, the Jets are good. They're good at something. They're always good at something that nobody else is good at. And that is another ignominious stat on the part of the Jets. Now, I went to the game. I didn't want to go to the game, although I guess I'm kind of happy that I did. But I basically got dragged to the game, and I've got a few stadium observations and something on the Jets radio broadcast as well. There's nothing to dissect about this game, obviously. So we have good friends on my wife's side from Dallas who about a month or so ago said, hey, we're coming into the city for a couple of the days and we're going to go to Rockefeller Center and do a little ice skate and go to Central Park, you know, hit some of the tourist spots, Fifth Avenue, whatever. And they did that on their own. We're out in Jersey. And they said, oh, I think we're going to go to the Jets game. So, of course, my wife's like, yeah, sure, we'll go to the Jets game. And I'm sitting there saying, oh, God, I don't want to go to the Jets game. You almost couldn't pay me to go to the Jets game. So, how about this for irony? Again, now I've known these people for a long time. I love them. I really do. But they're her friends, right? Since she was in high school. Unfortunately, my daughter gets sick and my wife has to bow out of going to the game. And of course, my daughter stays home and I get duped into going to the game that honestly, I didn't even want to go to. And I went because the original plans fell through. But I did take my son. It was his first Jets game. And, you know, I wanted his first Jets game to be you know, a game that had a little more juice or a lot more juice, and, you know, the stadium would have been a whole lot more vibrant. There must have been 25, 30,000 empty seats. Now, it was absolutely freezing. Great. Now, I know I'm getting a little softer with age, but man, it was cold. And there used to be a day back in the day where I was just completely unaffected by this stuff. I've told you a few times on the pod. I had season tickets 97, 98, and 99. And I was just out of school. And, you know, I would go and we would go back then. We'd tailgate at 9 o'clock. You know, we'd stay. If it was a 1 o'clock game, we would watch the 4 o'clock games. I'd be there 12, 13, 14 hours. Didn't matter how cold it was. I did not feel it. I was freezing today. It was bitterly cold. And the crazy thing about MetLife, and I haven't really felt this in a while, because I prefer not to go to games, not because the Jets aren't good. I mean, that's a big part of it. But really, the game day experience, it's tough for me to do my job for the radio, because I obviously have to follow the Giants. But because the Giants season's been over for 2 months, I didn't have to watch 1 second of the Giants game. They got rolled, by the way. What else is new? And, you know, by the time you get there and navigate the parking lot and get a parking spot and do what you're going to do and go where you're going to go and get inside the stadium, you know, I'll tell you something else. Like, I'm fairly tech savvy, of course. You know, these road trips that I do with NY Jetaways, we've done a bunch of trips over the years, the Lambeau, the Raiders, went to Tennessee this year, went to Dallas last year. I was going to go to London, but I had to bow out of that. But I say that because most of these, for other purposes, most of these things, obviously, you know, everything's digital, but it's such a pain in the ass. I got to tell you, when your fingers are frozen and for whatever reason, my stupid Ticketmaster app, I don't know what my passport expired. So here I am. My hands are freezing. I got to step out of line. I don't have my glasses with me. So I'm really trying to make sure, is that the right thing? And then I've got to reset the password, which takes me to my email. And then I've got to see that. And I've got to do that. By the time I get in, I'm sitting there like 15 minutes. It's not the worst in the world, but man, I just missed the hard copy ticket. I just miss it. Here you go. Here's my ticket. Zing. Let's go. Oh man. Man, there was a lot of empty seats there today. But I noticed, I started to say this before, I had good seats. I was right around, in, you know, 200s in, right around the 40. So we had access to the club. I mean, nothing's free. Everything costs $1 million. But at least we can go get warm. So my son, I got him a burger before the game. And we could warm up a little bit. And then we go out there, you know, for the national anthem, which was great, by the way. It was really good. And then, of course, at halftime, because we're not sitting with the friends that the only reason I went to the game was to see them, we're not sitting with them. So halftime, I got to walk through the whole stadium and I meet them on a concession line just to take a picture to appease my wife and to say hi to them. I genuinely do love them. But what I notice about MetLife, and again, I haven't been there in a while, and I guess the most recent games that I've gone to has been earlier in the season, the wind that just pounds through the stadium, and it's less when you're in the stadium, but like going and walking through the corridors, the concourse, it was windy as hell. Just give me my couch, give me my notes, give me my laptop so I could, you know, follow the other stuff, the bets, the fantasy, you know, flip back and forth to the Giants or a game that matters. It is, you know, I don't miss going to games. I really don't. I had a great time with my son, so I'm happy he got to see that. But what I did notice, and I've always known this because I used to work with him at my old station back in the day, a million years ago, 1050. But I really don't listen to the Jets on the radio, right? I don't, because every Jets game I'm planted on my behind and I'm watching the game, right? And to make sure I got home to do the podcast as soon as the game went final, I left right at the end of the third quarter. I knew it would be empty getting out. I don't live too far from the stadium, and I got home in time, right? But Bob Wischusen is phenomenal. And Bob Wischusen, I'm sure he makes good money. Yeah, he does some other games as well, works for ESPN, does college football, whatever, hoops. That man should be getting hazard pay to do these games because he still finds, you know, and I appreciate this and I respect this, Because sometimes, you know, sometimes you're doing a show and you're sick, or there's not a lot of juice, you know, and you got to manufacture the energy. So, you know, the people that listen to you feel it. That's my responsibility to convey. I'm not saying to make up something positive when it's not. I got to keep it real. But if I get on the air or on the pod like this, yeah, it was, you know, tough one. Jets lose again today. What was the score? 19-9. No punts. You know, first team in 25 years to score fewer than 10 points in a game without punting. Olu Fashanu got hurt, which I'll get back to, which sucks. You know, Rodgers, you know, nice opening drive, touchdown. What else? I mean, you just can't do a show like that. Nobody, you put people to sleep. So there's some entertainment value here. But Bob Wischusen is awesome. Like, the way I consume football on the radio, I will get the Giants occasionally on the radio. I think Papa is great. Bob Papa's awesome on the Fan, of course. Giants are the home of the Fan. But I am always in front of a TV by design during the Jets game, right? And even if I'm in the car coming back from one of my kids' games or something, and I know I'm going to miss the start, I'll put music on because the game's recording. I got to watch, right? So I really haven't heard Bob do a Jets game in a while. And he is just fantastic. When I was driving home, I'm like, I made a mental notation. I got to make sure everybody knows how lucky they are. Not that he's got any exciting games to call for the last 14 years. But, man, Bob Wischusen, if you didn't know the Jets situation, whatever the record is now, I don't even know what. Is it 3-11? Is it 3-12? I think it's 4-11, right? Oh God, that's where we're at. I don't even know the record. I do a Jets pod. I think it's 4-11, right? He is money. So shout out to Bob. He is really, really that good. All right, listen. So I gave Bob his pop. Let's see, the Olu Fashanu injury. I don't know. I know it's a foot. When you hear the foot, you know, is it a fracture? Is it an Achilles? I don't know. He was carted off. You know, listen, say what you will about Joe Douglas whiffing a lot and just not doing a good enough job as the GM at the Jets. He nailed that pick. That's not his fault that Olu got hurt. And I would guess, based on the report, how he was ruled out immediately. And that's why I worry about the Achilles. God, you just prefer a broken bone at this point. You really do. So I hope it's not an Achilles for the young man. Jeez. But he is a player. He is really, really good. And then, of course, the scrub that they put in after him, Max Mitchell, who they drafted years ago. Again, I'm not going to go through many of the mechanics of the game here, but yeah, it's third down. There's 2 minutes and 21 seconds to go. And Mitchell's obviously in on the left side. And what does he do? False start, you know, which pushes you back, which was fourth down. Was that fourth down? Yeah, that was fourth down. And, of course, moves him back 5 yards. It's no longer manageable. And then, of course, the Jets, you know, have to change their plan. Spoiler, not that it would have worked out anyway. But, like, it is just amazing how inept they are operationally. And then, speaking of operationally, you know, did you see Rodgers with 221 here? This is right before the Mitchell penalty. And he's looking at the sideline like, are we calling a timeout? I mean, hello, is this thing on? Anybody awake? Anybody coaching? Timeout? No. And you could just see the body language. And it was like, man, oh, man, he's just they are so inept. I don't blame Ehrlich for going for it. Again, he's trying to stamp a win. He's gone no matter what. But it's interesting. And I never really. Well, I shouldn't say I never did, because I've chastised Aaron a few times this year for his body language when somebody runs the wrong route. You know, he puts his hands up. And it's funny. You know what my son said? I talk to him about this all the time. And not that he never drives me nuts. He's 9, but he does play hard. And he said in every sport, he goes like this when we got home. They had a shot of Rodgers on the bench. And he goes, I don't like Rodgers' body language. That's not good body language. And, you know, he's not wrong. Rodgers, and now listen, I'm not saying Rodgers should be standing, waving pom-poms. Hey, come on, let's get a turnover. I get it. You know, he's this deep into his career. He's been there. He's done that. Even when the Packers, when he was with them and they were amazing or really good, which was almost always. That still wasn't necessarily his MO. But I thought that was an interesting observation from my 9-year-old son, who says, "Dad, I don't like the quarterback's body language." He's not wrong. Now, something on Rodgers here. Listen, what are the options next year? I actually think, and I know we had the fumble, and I know that once again, Alan Lazard. Listen, Alan Lazard is sub professional. My kids are in the other room. I'm trying to keep this one clean. He is garbage. Alan Lazard, he just stinks. Alan Lazard, he is so bad at his job, and he's always been bad at his job, but it's just been amplified here because when he drops a ball, you know, the Jets aren't good enough to overcome that. With the Packers, he dropped a few balls there. I remember seeing games, game of the week, 425, night games, whatever, you know, big games. I know Lazard's hands have always been spotty, but God, his hands are atrocious. He doesn't have two hands. He's got 2 feet. He just drops everything, right? So the numbers for Rodgers could have been better. I don't even have them in front of me. The last I checked, he was like 22 for 32 for 220, whatever. But I do think Devontae Adams dropped one where, and I get it, he kind of heard the footsteps in front of him. So he kind of pulled back a little bit. Probably would have been a 4 or 5 yard gain. Listen, here's where I'm at with Rodgers. And I've gone up and down a little bit. I've vacillated a little bit with Rodgers. To be fair to Aaron Rodgers, he's finally healthy. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers can still play. Now, the problem is nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to, you know, run it. Well, I shouldn't say nobody, but most people don't want to run. Oh, what are we going to do it again with Rodgers next year? Yeah, I think that you have to, and I'm okay with that. You know, Rodgers is starting to move a little bit. He can still flick the wrist and still throw some dimes. That touchdown was absolutely gorgeous to Devontae Adams. First of all, he extended the play, and he rolled out to his right. He threw it on the run. It was perfection. You had a guy in front of Devontae Adams. You had a guy who was closing in on the, you know, at the back of the end zone. I mean, that thing had to be put through a keyhole, and he put it right there. And, you know, Devontae Adams could still play as well. The drop aside that I just referenced, caught it, went up, got his feet down. Beautiful play. And I'll be honest with you, like, because I was with my son, and I'm not going to, not that I've never said this, but I'm not going to be in the stadium rooting for a Jets loss. I went to the game today. It was his first game. I wanted to see the Jets play well, and that was an encouraging start. But you just see all the other malfunctions. I mean, it really is amazing to score 9 points with no punts. Rodgers' fumble didn't help, obviously. But I don't know if you are predisposed, and many of you already made that determination a while ago. That's it. Rodgers can't play. And I'm not saying I never shared that thought anymore. Not that he couldn't play, but that I didn't know if there was enough juice in the tank. I do now, because I've seen, going back to the Miami game and last week and even today, he started to move a little bit better. He truly is. And that Achilles, which I've had, but obviously I'm not trying to run away from defensive ends with 4-5 speed or 6-6, you know, 270. And linebackers and corners, when they close, who move like the wind, you know, I'm just trying to go out there and coach my kids, right? And just be, you know, maintain some functionality, which I have. But that is a very, very tough injury. And I think I underestimated it in terms of not how long it would take to get back, but, you know, how long it would take for him to not only, first, you've got to regain the trust in the body, which he obviously has. But then you've got that juice, however you want to determine it, whatever happens with the blood flow and the regeneration of the tendon and the stuff around it, like that is hard. That, you know, especially when you're older.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I do think that Rodgers could still play. And if you don't, if you're predisposed to moving on from him, what's the answer? You want Kirk Cousins? You want Daniel Jones? You want to pay Sam Darnold? You want Tyrod Taylor? There's nobody to draft. All right. Now, if there was somebody that I really thought the Jets could get it, wherever they're going to pick, 5, 7, whatever it might be, you know, then, and I thought that was an appealing move, I'd probably sign up for that and latch onto it. But given where they are roster-wise, this is the problem. You know, Garrett about to get paid. You got to make the decision on Sauce, who got hurt, hamstring. You got to make the decision on Vera Tucker. There's a less urgency with Breece because he's the 4-year guy, not a first-round pick. So as a second rounder, you don't have that option. We don't have to tag him. That would trigger in year number 5. It's less, I think, it's just less thought for him. But, you know, eventually he's going to have to get paid a little bit. You know, I know the running back market's been slightly devalued here, but I don't know what they're going to do. I really don't. But I think that the new coach, who I really hope is going to be Vrabel, I think that as he watches the film and, you know, watches the concepts that the Jets run, which are still antiquated. You know, a play I can't stand. I was talking about this at the game. I can't stand when it's third down, a fade. I can't stand that play. The margin for error is minuscule. Even if you have a stud like Adams or Garrett Wilson, it's a really hard play to execute. Rodgers underthrew that one to Adams. You know which one I'm talking about. But that is a play that I've never liked on third down. Certainly not fourth down either if you're going for it. All right, first down, second down, sure, give it a shot. Especially if you've got a big-bodied receiver or even a tight end who could kind of post up and box out the corner or the safety. But that is just a low percentage play. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm a coordinator, but I don't know. Give me a screen, you know, like they do, the team that the Jets played. That's all. How many times do they throw a little bubble? They're so good at that. The Rams bubble, you know, 2 or 3 blockers, 7, 8, 9 yards. Boom. Even if it's not a touchdown. They are going to have to change their plays because what they run is what Rodgers prefers. And if Rodgers is okay and the new coach is okay with him and he's going to run some new plays, and here's the key, he can hold them hostage. One game I'm not playing, as much as I'm okay with Rodgers coming back next season, there is no way at soon to be 41 Aaron Rodgers is stretching this thing out. If there's a thought, just even a speck of, hey, I'm going to go sit in the darker, I'm going to go on a retreat, get lost. I don't begrudge you. You can stay in the wilderness forever. Don't come back. And if you do, you're not coming back as the Jets quarterback. There's no way I'm playing this game. If he's like, well, I take some time. No, you have no time. The head coach makes the decision for you, and the franchise makes the decision for you. And I don't think, to his credit, I don't want to go nuts here. I'm just preemptively stating, if he's going to play that game, then you're gone. No way is that, not a speck of a second is that game going to be played. But if Rodgers is quick and determines immediately, even if he says, hey, just want to take a week or so, but I'm not going to stray. I'll give him a week. I'm not going to string this thing out. Let me just see how my body feels. Let me see where my mind is. That's I understand that. That's human nature. He's going to have to go through that, all right? And if he does and he wants to strap it on for another year, you roll it back for one more year. But no way are we doing the whole song and dance and I'm going to be out here. I'm going to go to, you know, this country for a month. And I'm going to check into this resort and do the ayahuasca. There's no way. I cannot have that. And, you know, because it's not Saleh and Douglas who were, you know, chained to this guy out of desperation, the new guy's not going to have it. So again, I don't want to rant and rave unnecessarily. I do think there will be a quick decision. If there's not, we make it for you. You're gone. If the quick decision is, I want to go, I want to come back, then we're okay with that. All right. So, you know, you look at the other options. I gave you names. There's just a dearth of options. Hey, there are so many bad quarterbacks out there. Do you think that the Jets are going to actually find a good one that's just going to fall in their lap? You know, I did say at one point that I was at that point, like, amenable to, all right. So I didn't know how many wins they would have. And I thought they might kind of lose out, but they won a few games here. So they're not going to pick first or second. So they're not going to get Shador. They're not going to get Cam Ward. Right. I would have been for a minute. All right. Daniel Jones, maybe come in here as a stopgap. You know, he can run. He's tough. He's smart. You bridge that for a year. And but no, I've kind of soured on that. I think at this point, this is why the Jets are in a tough spot. I really think the main play here is Rodgers. I don't get it. You know, the other observation, or I don't get what else is out there that could be remotely exciting or deemed viable, that would frame it as a competitive forward move for 2025. I don't see it. All right. You're not drafting somebody who's coming in here with the 7th overall pick, who's going to get the football right away, unless they love somebody, the new GM, and say, maybe they move up a slot or two, they get it, and then you run it back, and you have this kid, and you have Tyrod Taylor, and then whatever. I would say that that's slightly an option. The other thing, too, and I talked about the game experience before, you know, it was depressing in the sense that there were so many empty seats, and for whatever reason, I the way they built MetLife Stadium is just utterly ridiculous. The outside, and I know I've railed on it, and everybody has, but man, it's just hideous. The outside is gross. Now, when you're inside, I was telling my son this. I'm like, because we've watched all the night games. I'm like, I got to tell you, when it's a night game and the stadium's illuminated green, it pops. It looks pretty presentable on TV. It does. It really does. And it looks good because I've been to many night games, not this year, in the past since they opened up back in the day. And I enjoyed it. All right. But, you know, it's extra drab when there's so many empty seats and you're looking at gray. Depressing gray seats. Like, is there anything more depressing than gray? Literally, when the sun's not out, it's gray and it's depressing. You're like, oh, how's the weather today? Nah, there's no sun. Ah, that's kind of dark. It's a little gray out there today. And the Jets and the Giants decide to make the seats gray. Beautiful. I mean, listen, now I know that it was 2009 when this was being built or opened, and obviously it was being built before that, and technology has advanced tenfold since then. You're telling me that there wasn't a way to, I don't know. I mean, I do for a living. I don't build things. You're telling me somebody out there from Silicon Valley couldn't come up where, all right, the seats are empty, or even, I don't know, when the seats are occupied. Dink, hit a little button, LED behind it. Jets play green, Giants play blue. You couldn't do that? At least when you see it on TV, it's not gray, but it's gray, which is perfect, which is a perfect encapsulation of both of its tenets. Absolutely amazing. Boy, if you told me a month ago, hell, even 7 weeks ago, that I would have gone to this game, I would have said, what are you, nuts? Why the hell would I go to this game? Well, you do what you do for your family. And that's why, you know, one thing I certainly will never tell people how to spend their money ever. It's not my right. It's not my place. I remember years ago at the absolute apex of the dysfunction at the Garden, there were a lot of Knicks fans who were trying to get me on board to try to help spearhead this protest outside the Garden. I said, no, that's not my scene. I'm not telling people what to do. You don't want to go, you don't go. I get it. It's not cheap, but I'm not telling you not to go. You know why? And this is the one thing that I will always appreciate. No matter how drab the stadium is, no matter how shitty the tenant inside the stadium is, I look around. I see a lot of kids with their moms and dads. their grandparents, right? They don't know. You know, now my son happens to know more because, you know, he either hears me on the radio wailing about the Jets with Sal and railing on them, or, you know, this pod sometimes when he's, you know, sometimes after rough games, I tell my wife, get him out of the house. I got to air it out. They can't hear what I'm about to say. Today's not one of those days. I'm not going to just be mad. There's nothing to be mad about today. What'd be mad about? I'm going to feign anger. I can't stand that, actually. I can't stand when people do that on the radio and all these pods. Yeah, let me get in front of a camera or a mic and just be mad because that's what people want to hear. Now, sometimes it's cathartic, but to project that now, I'm not going to do that today. I just sat there with my best buddy for, you know, the first three quarters. I saw Aaron. I told him when we got in the car, I said, listen, I said, no matter how rough this season's been, you saw. Now you're 9 years old. Someday you're going to be 19 and 29 and 39 and, God willing, 79 and 89 and beyond, right? Someday you're going to be able to say to your kids, and you and I are going to be able to talk about this down the road, that you saw one of the greatest quarterbacks with your own eyes throw a touchdown pass in person. You know, and what does that mean for the Jet fan, right? It doesn't mean much. But it means something for him, and it means something for me. Now, again, he hears me, and so he always, you know, dripping with negativity, not because I want to be, but because this is what the Jets present me, and I've got to do my job. But so many of the kids there today, particularly, you know, the young ones, 6-year-olds, 7, 8, 9, you know, I don't mean teenagers. I don't mean them. They know what's going on. But they go to the stadium for the first time today. They're with their mom and dad, getting ready for Santa to come in a couple days. Can't wait. Can't wait. Even the Jets can't ruin Christmas. Can't wait. Love Christmas, especially Christmas Eve, the big seafood fest. I'll tell you the Christmas Eve menu in a minute. The Feast of the Seven Fishes, favorite night of the year, right? They don't know, though. They're there. They're wearing their Jet skull caps and their Sauce and Garrett Wilson and Rogers jerseys and all bundled up like little Eskimos. So that's why I don't tell people not to go. You know, I think that a lot of people there today were probably given tickets by season ticket holders that they're friendly with, that they just didn't want to bother. And I don't blame those warriors who trek out there all the time. Loss after loss, injury after injury, malfunction after malfunction, you know, blown lead after blown lead. So they probably don't want to deal with this nonsense. But if this is your first chance to take your kid to a game, you're not gonna act on it. Yeah, so I'll never be that guy. I will not be that guy. Evan, let's see if he's still alive or awake after another Jets game. Oh, Evan is still with us. What's up, buddy?
Hanging in there. The one thing I was thinking was when you, at the beginning, you were talking about how the Ticketmaster app got all screwed up and all the cold. You know what the biggest scam, I think, in the world? Those gloves that they sell you that are supposed to work with your phone that have the tips of the fingers. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah.
I feel like I've gotten those for Christmas like 9 times and they never work. It's like
they don't work.
You're touching your
phone. Are you serious?
This is a waste of time.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still old school in the sense that, like, you know, I'm the kind of guy, like, if I have to go gas up or something and it's the middle of the winter, like, I'll be in shorts and flip-flops and a sweatshirt. Like, I'm always pushing the boundaries there. I get it. So I'm not going to put those gloves on, but my hands were cold and my hands were free. Like, I think I said it last weekend. I went to Saturday night's main event, me and Sal and Hoff, right? We went out there to the Coliseum and the same shit with the app. Like, I can't get in and the Coliseum's a little small. And they only had one entrance, which, and I'm not trying to bag on the Coliseum, but a colossal, colossal pain in the ass. So we're all there, and it was cold last Saturday night as well. And going through the app, trying to find the tickets, the password expired again. And that's what I don't get. It expired, and I did it there in the dark at the Coliseum, and I thought I was set for today. And of course, I did a little pre-flight. My father-in-law is a former fighter pilot and a pilot, just commercial. So he always says, you know, pre-flight. Hey, make sure you have 1, 2, do everything you got to do before. And I do that anyway. I wish my wife would do a little bit more, but I always do it. And so I did it, you know, yesterday. I did it today. All right. The app is all set. I got my parking pass. I've got my seats. I'm good to go. It doesn't work. I had to change the passcode again. Unbelievable. Now, you know, back in the day with the hard copy, God forbid you lose your ticket, which I never did. You know, that's a different set of issues. That presents a different problem. But, man, there were so many empty seats. And I know you were watching on TV. Yeah. Do you have an explanation? Am I missing something? Like, they had to think, the engineers who were directed by the Jets and the Giants. It's not like the engineers were like, all right, we'll do this. And you know what? We'll just put gray seats in. And it's not even all gray. It's like there's three gray and then there's like one dark one. And then there's two gray and then there's one darker gray. It's just, it's not even congruent. It's not symmetrical. It's just a mishmash of gray, kind of like the sweater that I'm wearing. Yeah. Can you explain to me why they did that? Why? Yeah.
No, and it's like there's no – because it's like with the stadium, it's so like electronically. It's like it's the green when it's the Jets and it's the blue when it's the Giants and all that different stuff and all the boards change and all that stuff because I've been there. Yeah, it's like that was definitely – that must have been like a complete oversight or like they had like an argument and it was like Woody might have been like, oh, I really want this color and Maris, I really want this color. And then they were like, we'll go with the crappiest color.
Yeah. It very well may have been that. Like there's not much – of a compromise on blue or red and green. It's not like, you know, what, like, I don't know the example, like whatever it might be where you can, here's kind of a neutral shade that appeases. Now there's other neutral shades that are a little more presentable and a little more aesthetically pleasing. Like this had to have the most empty seats for the whole season. What did it look like on TV? It must've been atrocious.
No, it's brutal. And the worst part is the field goals, because that's when you really see it the most. Yeah. So it's the kick of the field goals. Yeah. And I saw this other game when they were at halftime and it was like, you couldn't see the ball because there were so many people. It kind of blended in.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Jets, it was like, you couldn't miss it. Like there's so many empty seats that you could definitely see the brown football with the gray seats behind it, you know, especially with Carlson where he was missing every kick. It was like,
that's what he said. Don't say that. That's what that was his excuse. No way.
What? No. That wasn't his excuse. No. Okay. It was just like throughout the game, it made no sense because it's like he misses a PAT.
I know.
Like, let's throw him out there for, what was it, a 49-yarder?
49-yarder. And he missed it right away. Like, I'd just gotten home for that. Like, it wasn't even like, oh, is it going to be in there? And maybe the Jets can get a stop or onsides. As soon as he kicked it, you're like, he missed, not even close. Pushes it.
Yeah.
They're horrendous. What are you doing for Christmas? Any good traditions?
So I go over to like my mom's house and we do all like the different Christmas stuff. We go to my aunt's house. We have all my young cousins there and they're like, you know, it's just the funny thing. Cause it's like, as you're getting older, you're kind of seeing what they have. Cause that's always been the biggest thing is it's like everybody does their own family for the morning.
Yes.
And then you get to that party late at night and the young cousins are like, oh my God, look at this gift my parents got me, you know, and they're like flexing it to everybody else there.
I remember those days. Yeah, so I remember those days were awesome.
With that, you go from being the kid, like presenting it to everybody, to now you're like the older person being like, man, you got that awesome gift, you know? So
what time, do you have a favorite Jets gift from Santa as a kid? Anything jump out?
I'm trying to think. I know that, my dad has a couple of old jerseys that he like passed down. So those are really cool.
What names? Like what you guys?
The Wayne, I'm blinking.
Corbett.
Yeah. I got a Wayne Corbett one. He's got
By the way, Wayne's my all time favorite Jet.
Yeah.
Number 80.
Freaking awesome.
And I love Wayne.
Like a couple of like newer ish ones. Like you got Favre with it. Cause of course, like Aaron Rodgers right in the moment,
yeah, it's
like
such a big
moment that you go get it. So it's like in the moment it's big. And then obviously after the fact, you're like, I got to waste my money here, you know?
Yeah. But you know what I don't get? And whatever. I mean, it's weird, you know, not enough to go nuts on, but here's what I don't get. So I'm in the stadium today. And I see some people wearing Giants hats. Yeah. The Giants are playing a fucking game. Are you watching? I see Steeler hat. I know the Steelers played the other night.
Yeah.
Like I'm seeing Dolphins gear. Not a lot of it, but I'm just looking at these people. I'm like, why are you here? What are you doing here?
That always blew my mind because it feels like they got invited to the game and somebody just said it's a football game. So they're just like, well, this is what I have. That's football.
Yeah. Yeah,
it looks so dumb because it's like, why are you wearing a Jaguars jersey at a Jets game?
I don't know. I know. I know. Yeah, that's true. I noticed a lot of tourists as well. like they come in fur coats and like for the women, I don't know, like Gucci bags or Fendi bags or Prada. Like, I'm like, what are you doing here? I mean, evidently you got some money and you came into New York for the holidays and this is where you are. Go to Lincoln Center, you know, go to see the Rockettes at Radio City, you know, go to one of the, you know, 9 or 10 steakhouses that are going to run you $80 for a steak. I mean, you could go somewhere nice. What are you doing here? How are you doing here? What are you here for?
Yeah, it makes
sense. And then everybody on their stupid phones. I'll tell you, this is the other thing too. Of course, I took a selfie, me and my son, with the back of the field, so I can have that forever. But I mean, just people just endlessly like taking pictures of themselves, just so. And I don't mean one. I get it. All right, let me prove I was here. Dink. All right, let me put it on the IG. Yay, everybody knows where I am and what I'm doing. But the incessant reaching for the phone. I the only time I checked my phone today was to see, to confirm what section our friends were in, because they weren't next to us, and I wanted to go meet them at halftime, because, of course, that's the other thing. I didn't even tell you this. That's the other thing. So I got there, because I'm always on time. I time everything out. I had a tailgate set up that I got all of them invited to, and I texted him. His name is Tommy. His wife is one of my wife's best friends, but I've known Tommy since my wife and I met. They're from Dallas. We go back all the time. Great guy. Big Steelers fan. Great dude. He's not from Dallas. She is, right? So I'm texting him and I tell him, you know, hey, listen, I got a great tailgate set up. It's going to be cold. So make sure the kids are bundled up. They have young sons as well. But I got this and I got that. It's at section D. I'm over here, blah, blah, blah. My guy, Frankie. And I get to the parking lot. It's like 11:02, plenty of time, right? Even a little later than I wanted, but still plenty of time. And at like 11:30, he's like, oh, yeah, we're still in the hotel. I'm like, he's still in a hotel in Manhattan? Dude, you got to get an Uber. And then by the time you get out, now it's like 12:00. Now it's even harder to get in the stadium. You're not going to – if you make the tailgate, I'm not going to the tailgate for 2 minutes to wait for you. And then have to walk all the way back around. I'm like, we're not even going to the tailgate.
Yeah, it's like the whole point of the tailgate is hours before kickoff. It's not like a 30-minute period.
Evan, and the only fucking reason I was there was for everybody but me. Yeah. And then nobody showed up. Oh, dude. And it's all good. All right. So do we have any – do people even give a shit anymore? Is anybody saying anything? What is the consensus today? Where are we at?
The two that I wrote down was this guy, Joey Jersey, said, do you think that at this point, Aaron makes the calls to go for it on fourth instead of Ulbrich? Because they think it kind of seems like that during the game sometimes.
Yeah, it's funny because I told you my son pointed out Rodgers' body language when we got home, when Aaron was just kind of flopped on the bench.
Yeah.
But at one point, I didn't see this. I think I was looking at the out-of-town scores. He's like that. He's like, Rodgers just like – basically, and I've seen him do this, like waved off the coaches. He's going like this, like, I got it. So maybe in certain spots, maybe. I do think at this point, if you're Ulbrich and you're the offensive staff, but obviously Ulbrich's that coach, you're probably telling the team all week in practice, hey guys, we got nothing to lose. Balls to the wall, you know, unless it's like 3rd and 12 or 3rd and 9 and we're at our own 37 or 30, we're going to go for it. So be ready. You know, 4-down territory pretty much all day. So Rodgers probably knew that. Maybe he was waving off a play or personnel or who knows, or I don't know. Maybe they were going to punt that one time. He's like, nah, we're going for it.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer directly. Who was that, Joe in Jersey? I think it's Joe. Yeah. Is it Joe? Yeah, Joe. I mean, possibly. Wouldn't surprise me. I would say more likely than not that he's just doing what he wants at this point.
Yeah. And then this guy, Raphael, said, do you think Rodgers was forcing touch? Because if he got a next touchdown, his touchdown 500 in his career. So people think he was forcing it to Devontae Adams for the storyline, you know?
Yeah.
Saying it on the broadcast, they were like, oh, you know, Devontae Adams is caught in, I think it was like over 100 of them or maybe close to 100 of them. So it would be really poetic if he caught, you know, 499 and then 500. So he might have been forcing it to Devontae Adams.
Yeah, I mean, listen, is it a force? I think it's more a familiarity kind of thing. You know, I think that, you know, it's funny when Adams first showed up, was his first game in Arizona? I think it was, right? Does that sound right? I think so.
Yeah.
I was surprised the first two games for sure, maybe even the third game, that Rodgers and Adams' chemistry wasn't was a little bit better. Like, I thought they'd have more identifiable synergy. Now, listen, I don't mean where they do checks or they change the play and they're on the same page. And maybe we don't know that from, you know, the outside looking in. But just, you know, back shoulders or being in the right, just completion, making plays. But the last couple of weeks, you do see that chemistry. It's undeniable. And Adams could still play. There's no doubt about that. Wow, what a miserable season, dude. It is December. It's December 22nd. I just sat in a stadium with 25,000 empty seats, and it was 19 or 20 degrees, and they scored 9 points. And they lost, which is good. I mean, yeah, I don't want him to know this. Hey, listen, good thing you take the L's at this point. Stack them. Stack the L's.
There you go.
Stack the L's. I will share with you before I go. And I'll do something during Christmas week. I'll get a pot up either Wednesday or Thursday. I'll let you guys know on social media. By the way, follow me on Twitter, obviously Instagram, this, subscribe, Spotify, Apple. I always tell you guys, let your friends know. You know, this is a safe place. It's going to be raw. This is kind of unfiltered, uncensored version of me. I can say whatever I want. And if you've been with us for the ride, you've seen some epic, you know, explosions and meltdowns. I won't be that guy who just, you know, throws around F-bombs, you know, gratuitously. I think that that's the low-hanging fruit. I think that that lacks intelligence. We're going to have a standard on the show, but sometimes, that's how I effectively communicate things. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, so it's all good. Here's what I have coming up on Christmas Eve. You ready? I'm going to tell you our menu. It's my favorite day of the year. Now, we used to go to Midnight Mass back in the day.
Okay.
In Brooklyn, always. And I'm talking about when I'm young, when I'm, you know, getting ready for Santa, young, right? And as I got a little bit older, I'd go with my friends, you know, and kind of see if the girls from the neighborhood were there, whatever. But I love Christmas Eve. I love the anticipation. I love the music. I love how the kids are so excited to go, you know, more because they know what's coming the next morning, you know, but I feel like they're into it. So that's one of our traditions, Christmas Eve. And even though I'm only half Italian, every tradition just about that I have growing up is from the Italian side. My mom's obviously Italian, right? And, you know, Sunday dinners, of course, every Sunday, the bragiol, the meatballs, the pasta, all that stuff. But Christmas Eve was always the Feast of the Seven Fishes. So now, you know, we got to split things up a little bit. My mom's coming Christmas Day. So she won't be with us. My in-laws are, it's a surprise. My in-laws are coming in tonight. So I got to keep that low. So my wife and I are going to cook it tomorrow. So ready for the menu? We start. Now, do you like seafood?
I like a decent amount of it, especially like the hors d'oeuvres kind of stuff.
You know, I got
like shrimp and that kind of stuff.
Listen, I could definitely go with a nice steak or whatever, but you know, if I'm looking at one meal, I mean, if it's not chicken cutlet parmesan, which is basically Italian, or veal cutlet parmesan, it very well might be an array of seafood, right? So we start out angel hair pasta with lobster tails. Everybody gets a nice little lobster tail, right? Then after that, and you got to be careful. This is a rookie mistake here. I mean, I'm a veteran at this point, but a rookie mistake, and I got to make sure that they don't make this mistake, my in-laws, because they're not used to this. They don't do this in Dallas, right? Yeah. So you could just go nuts on the pasta and the bread and you're stuffed. Rookie mistake. So angel hair and the lobster tail, and then we move into, and I'm going to make this myself, cold seafood salad. So I actually we just got them. I'll cut up octopus. I'll cut up calamari, the little white rings that you see, yep, right? Yep. Cut them up. Cut up the shrimp, obviously all cooked. Some olive oil, some celery, a lot of lemon juice. And then he just kind of, you know, boom, boom. And scungili as well. Mix that up. Big salad, right? So you go from the pasta to the seafood salad. And then while I'm doing that, my wife will be doing the fish fry, which is fried shrimp, fried scallops, fried flounder, baked clams, crab cakes.
Wow.
And hold on. What am I missing? The pasta, the lobster tails, the cold seafood salad, and, you know, a little red wine. I know usually you try to do white with fish, but I'm not a big white wine guy. So that's the meal. And it might be 2 hours. We just sit there and we just eat like kings, man. And it is absolutely my favorite meal of the year. It is absolutely, you know, obviously, and I'm not to get deep into religion, but from a religious perspective, obviously Christmas Day is what matters in Christianity, because that's when Jesus was born. So I'm not taking anything away from Christmas Day. That's without Christmas Day, there's no Christmas Eve. I obviously know that. But Christmas Eve is when it's on. And I didn't have this, obviously, because I'm a million years old at this point. But now we got the Santa tracker. You know about this? Like, your young nephew's on. You get to track Santa on the GPS going around the world. He's in Turkey. He's in China. He's in Asia. He's over in Australia. And then when he starts making his way up, or actually, I believe his preferred route, is coming down from Canada. Yeah. So when he starts to come down from Canada, and he's obviously in North America now, and he starts to hit like Maine and up there in the upper northeast portion of our country. Now the kids see that. And they don't want to go to bed as soon as they see that he's coming, because if they're up, he ain't coming. They know that. He's going to bypass the home. They run up like they are running the 40-yard dash at the combine. They run up. Santa's in Pennsylvania. Santa's in New Hampshire. Come on. Got to go. Up the stairs, in bed, door closed, bang, lights out. And it's over. It ends abruptly. So
there you go.
That's what we have coming up, man. I can't wait. I cannot wait.
Yeah, that should be good.
One Christmas wish for you for the Jets. We'll end it on this. One Christmas wish for you for the Jets. It could be a player. It could be something a little bit more nebulous, like an overall thought within the organization, whatever. Anything jump out?
I mean, right now, just based on what we've been talking about lately, it's got to be Vrabel. It's got to be, we got to get that head coach right, because it's like they've shown signs throughout the past couple of games that, like, even if they keep Rodgers and Adams and those guys, they show flashes of being really good. They just need a coach, because I feel like Ulbrich is like nobody really cares about him at this point. He's just a figurehead.
I feel badly for Ulbrich. He's 1,000% gone. He's got no chance to keep this job. Yeah, it's not.
Like, if you get a guy who's like a leader in there who will actually tell you, like, hey, this is how we're doing things, I think that they could actually be pretty solid.
Okay. I love Vrabel. That's the man that I want. Either Robinson and Vrabel or Dimitrov. We talked about that on the last pod. If you guys missed it, go check it out. It's a great call, and I'm 1,000% with you, and hopefully that comes to fruition. But I'm going to go deeper, and I talked about this on the last pod. The last pod was a really important pod, because it's about Woody. It was about all the Madden stories and all the nonsense coming out of one Jets drive that is almost unbelievable. Like, if you didn't know this team, you wouldn't believe it. But, of course, we know this team, so we believe it. Maybe not so gullible where every single literal, because I know that there's an embellishment with some of the stuff. I get it. But we all know that most of the stuff is true.
Yeah.
My Christmas wish is there is an overhaul. There is an awakening within the thought process of Woody Johnson, that he has been so shamed and he is so embarrassed that he finally understands that his way is broken, that it will never work. That's why you really need to see. I don't want to get into that now, but on the last pod, I got into how, when you look at Parcells, who took over a team that was 3-13 in 1995, and then that was and then the next year they were 1-15, and then Bill comes in and he flips it from 1-15 to 9-7 to 12-4 to AFC Championship game, lost to Denver, should have won, would have beat the Falcons in the Super Bowl, and then the next year only 8-8, but that's because Vinny got hurt week one against the Pats. I was at that game with his Achilles, and then of course, it took Parcells, the only mistake he's ever made, forever to go to Ray Lucas and bench Rick Meyer. But I say that because if you look at the early years of Woody's ownership, that was the most success in his tenure. They made the playoffs four times. Was it, I want to say 01, I might be off by a year, 01, 02, 04, 06, something like that. And to me, there were still remnants of the Parcells infrastructure. Not all the same players, obviously, because, you know, Vinny moved on, Chad became the quarterback, you know, but just there was a mindset in the building, and the building was used to winning, and there was a culture that eventually eroded, right? And then came back with Rex, but even though Mangini's culture was okay. But if you look at Woody, that's where the sustained success ended, okay? And since then, he's had to do everything on his own because Parcells had expired. And what has he done on his own? He's done nothing except make the Jets a laughingstock and a punching bag and the losingest franchise in the NFL and North American sports 14-year drought. We all know that, right? So I really hope. And I think Woody's a good guy. I've told you, I've met Woody Johnson. He's a good man. I'm not here to just make fun of him or besmirch his character. I don't know his character. I don't know that. And I don't do that to people I don't know. And he treated my kids nice. And that's, you do that, that's all I care about. Right. From a human perspective,
yeah.
From a football perspective, he's awful, but he must be so embarrassed here. He must be that he finally, this is my Christmas wish, that he finally realizes, all right, I have tried my way and it ain't working. And the only way I think he gets somebody like a Vrabel, which would give you your wish, is for him to concede the power that's going to be necessary for him to concede to get Vrabel to take the job. Because if there's no, written in the contract, if there's no legal concession, meaning I got the power and my GM's got the power, I don't think Vrabel's coming. And yep. Then at that point, who the hell knows who you get? And then you're back on the same cycle of a guy taking the job because it's one of 32, not because he believes he's going to be able to do it his way. So that's my Christmas wish. My Christmas wish for all of you amazing Jet fans. I mean, it's beyond Christmas. This is like more like New Year's. This is everything. This is a birthday wish. This is any wish that I can bestow upon any Jet fan. And that is eventually peace. I like to say eternal peace because that means we can, you know, take that dirt nap with a couple of Lombardis. I'm not even stretch it that far. How about sustained peace? Can we go with that? You know, where eventually we look up and who knows? Football's a wacky sport. As much as we seem miles from relevance and planets away from hope, you never do know. You don't know. You don't know. And I'm not a real blind faith guy, but I am a blind hope guy. And there's a big difference. Blind faith is, they'll get it right. We'll figure things out. No, that does nothing for me. Smart people, smart men and women, forward thinking men and women, they figure it out. You don't stumble upon sustained success. You earn it. So it's not about blind faith, but it is about blind hope. I just will always hope. Look down there. Where are we at? It's the reverse, right? Unkillable. There you go. Name of the pod, Unkillable. If I didn't have blind hope, the name of this pod wouldn't be Unkillable. So it all wraps together. There it is. I want to wish every one of you an amazing, amazing holiday season. If you don't celebrate Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever you celebrate, enjoy it. But a really, really Merry Christmas. Enjoy this time. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. The lights and the music and the fish and all the other stuff and the wondrous joy that those kids, all these kids will have in a couple days. You know, also understand not everybody has it. I'm not trying to preach here. I tell this to our kids all the time. Not everybody has it as well as we do. You know, I'm in a nice warm home right now. Not everybody has that. So as you're celebrating and you're ripping through gifts, probably spending more money than you should have, or Santa spending more money than he should have, understand that we're still in a good place. It's football stuff. Yeah, be nice to be good. It'll be nice to be good. It would be amazing to have 10 wins right now. You know, getting ready. Hey, listen, we win a couple of more games. I might host that divisional matchup if we could host a wild card weekend. Not this year, and probably not next year, right? But that's what it's all about. That's what being a fan is all about. It's no guarantees, man. The only guarantee is these teams are showing up and playing. Everything else is up to them. We're doing our part. We're doing our part. And I think because it's been a while, as I said at the start of today's pod, haven't gone to the stadium as much. It was a nice reminder to see, even though there was a lot of empty seats, 50,000 Jet fans who deserve so much more. We'll get there one day, and when we do, we're going to be at the playoff games, and by then, this pod will just be hopefully above and beyond anything I could have hoped for when I launched it. So, happy holidays. I'll talk to you guys next week. and enjoy everything. I'll see you guys soon.